This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Love your mornings. Joy 94.9.
Early this morning, I reviewed a book, Belonging to No One, by Gwen Wilson, a story of triumph over adversity. On the line from Wollongong, I have the author, Gwen Wilson. Gwen, welcome to Joy 94.9.
Good morning, Gordon. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, that's okay. How's the weather up there?
Beautiful.
Oh, it's a bit cloudy down here in Melbourne, but that's normal. Now, Gwen, I loved your book, and I've reviewed it earlier this morning. And what prompted you to write it?
The original thought was as a tribute to the people who'd supported me as in my childhood, particularly the very strong working class women who, you know, grew up in an era when there wasn't much opportunity, and yet they were just wonderful to me. And I found myself living comfortably, asking myself how it was that I'd managed to get here, and thinking, yeah, it's really a lot of the credit goes to those women.
Yes, and of course your life changed around when you were around about 16.
Yes, I fell pregnant, and well, that wasn't the thing to do in that time. It was a great stigma to be unmarried and pregnant and a schoolgirl.
Things have changed a little bit now because there's not that stigma at all in the modern day, is it?
No, it's not. It doesn't mean that it's easy for those women, but it's not the stigma. It was just such a huge stigma. And as you read in I Belong to No One, I was sacked when it was discovered that I was pregnant and not married. I was sacked on the spot.
That's not a very easy thing to take either, is it? Because you've got the pregnancy going on and then you're doing a good job.
Yes.
And all of a sudden they say, we don't want you here, you know.
Yes, I mean, the other women wouldn't work with me.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was, you know, I think the boss might have been prepared to turn a blind eye, but the other women wouldn't work with me because I wasn't married and I was pregnant.
Yeah, in the book, it sounded as though the boss was prepared to do that, but of course you had that thing about the other women that didn't want you because you were pregnant, which is just stupid, really, when you think about it, isn't it?
I liken it to the pack turning on the wounded one.
Yep.
Dog pack turning on the wounded one.
And that happens all the time. It's just unfortunate. Now, your mother's constant illness, that must have made it a hell of a way to sort of grow up.
Yes. In a sense, it meant that you couldn't really be a child because you needed to be aware of what impact you were having on her frail grip on reality.
Of course, your brother was there as well. He would have been in the same boat.
Yes, poor fellow. You know, when he's trying to be a youth, trying to do his final exams, trying that moment when you're about to step out into your career that could, remembering that we're talking about a time when it was expected that you'd have a job for life.
Mm-hmm.
Very critical time in his life for Mum to have her first breakdown.
Yeah, you eventually married, and then you left the marriage, which must have been a very difficult thing to decide to do.
Yes, it was extremely difficult, and really, I wouldn't have managed it if it wasn't for Shane, who you know, helped show me a way that I could extricate myself from the marriage. All the same, it was with huge mixed feelings because, you know, I thought I still loved my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't love the marriage and
what it was doing, you know, to you, basically.
There was violence and, you know, insecurity. And so it was a very, very difficult thing to do.
But you also had to leave your baby behind.
Yes, that was a big mistake. Very big mistake. And, you know, I didn't realise that when I left him behind on that day, I thought it was because it was the sensible thing to do and that I'd have him back in a week or two, but of course I never did regain custody of him.
No, but you were only a young girl at the time, really, weren't you, about 17?
And
how do you make decisions at that age of what's going to be the right thing for the future, you know?
Yeah, well, you're just trying to get by with each day as it presents itself, and, you know, on that day I had an escape route presented to me, and I went, okay, I'm grabbing this, and I didn't, you know, foresee the repercussions.
Yes, of course, then your life changed, of course, and you finished up in Adelaide working in a very good job.
start of my career. I started actually in Adelaide as a dental nurse. That was nice, the first 12 months. But then I went, got a job in Port Adelaide as technically as the receptionist, but within 3 months I was working on the water, as a waterfront clerk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what put me into my career in shipping and logistics. It was fabulous, fabulous time for me. Fabulous time to be a woman, breaking into the male-dominated area of shipping. It was just great for me.
Yeah, because they only had basically males on the wharves in those days, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah. And, of course, I wasn't working physically on the wharf.
No.
I attended the wharf. But, yes, I can tell you, a lot of raised eyebrows when I'd stepped down there.
Yep. You would have been doing all the bills of lading and getting all the paperwork and stuff organised.
Yeah, all of that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and sometimes in those days they were conventional. So occasionally you had to board the vessel with a customs officer and examine the cargo before it could be cleared. So that was interesting because the customs officer was God. He never touched a thing.
Yes,
and I'd come on board with my crowbar.
It must have been a bit confronting to some of those macho men on the wharf.
You know, I'd look around and smile sweetly at one of the seamen and say, "Do you mind?" And hit the crowbar.
Using your womanly wiles, yes. Now you always had a very good academic mind when you were at school.
Yes.
And what have you done since to do something with that mind of yours?
The most recent is finally going to university,
mm-hmm.
and I wheedled my way in. I think I was 55.
A mature age student.
Very mature age student. Every time I turned up to the first tutorial, all the students sat up straight, and I'd say, "Oh, just relax, I'm a grubby student like the rest of you." But I managed to study at postgraduate level without having an undergraduate degree. And that was a bit interesting. I had to do a thing called a graduate certificate.
Right.
And anyway, I got there.
You got there. So now you have a degree after your name, and it's very good.
Mm. Now, I have a master's degree in electronic commerce.
What is electronic commerce? That's working with internet, I guess, is it?
Basically, doing business over the internet, all your online stores, all that sort of thing. But, of course, in the shipping industry, it's huge.
Yeah, oh yes, it has to be because they've got to have quick turnarounds, otherwise it costs them a lot of money.
Yes.
Gwen, thank you very much for your time to talk about what I call a great triumph over adversity. And I just want to say that the book is now in bookstores and it's on ebooks.
Yes, and iTunes, Kobo, Amazon.
Right, and it's by Hachette. Gwen, thank you very much. I really enjoyed reading your book, and it was a great read. And I don't know how I can explain how you have done what you've done with your life. It's just amazing.
Thank you so much. And I hope that's the message people take from I Belong to No One. You do not have to be defined
by
the circumstances.
No, good on you, Gwen. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.